something special we'll be doing before the end of the year. So all of that is coming up. We also got to the bottom of who moved the studio around yesterday and didn't put it back. Now, if you missed it, Boomer came in very upset, and rightfully so. Everything was moved out of the studio. The helmets were off the desk. Every monitor was pushed out of the way. There was one just white, nondescript football helmet that was on the desk. The chairs were moved, and nobody put it back. So we thought, doing some research, that it was the Giants postgame show with Lance Meadow and Jonathan Casillas. We apologize to those guys. It was not those guys. Those guys just came in here, and the studio was already like that. We did, however, find, thanks to a sleuth, an internet sleuth, you know, these guys, they dedicate their entire lives to justice and
truth in the American way.
That is correct. So Nick Martorano, a listener, he sent us, he goes, case closed, with a little sleuth detective emoji. And what it is a screenshot of Tony Khan, Shad Khan's son and head of AEW Wrestling, in this studio being interviewed by Sal Licata with the exact setup that we came in with on Monday. So I don't blame Sal.
I do. He's got to grow up.
No.
He's got brought in those,
timeout,
magnetic things and hung them on a wall. I mean, come on. What?
I don't disagree. He needs to grow up.
He's going to use the studio. That's fine. But you know, you don't leave it in shambles.
Hold on. I don't blame Sal. I don't blame Tony Khan. I blame whoever it was that was in charge of filming this thing. That is the culprit. The talent is the talent. The talent comes in, does his job, interviews Tony Khan. The person who set it up and filmed it is the culprit. That is our suspect.
I still say that Sal is a colleague of ours. Sal works here. Sal has to have a much broader sense of awareness, just like you want to have a quarterback that has awareness.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know whether or not he is so pigeonholed that he just has no awareness. He comes in here. He interviews Tony Khan, who I've met a few times. Very nice kid. Young man now. But still, Sal is the host. Sal is, he knows who we are. He knows this is our studio.
Yeah.
When I go into their studio and I do my CBS Sports Minutes, do I mess it up? No. Do I touch anything? No. If there's anything that's in my way, when I sit down, I put it back to where it was.
Okay.
I mean, that's just a common courtesy.
All right. Well, if you want to put some blame on Sal, you can.
Put it all on Sal.
All of it.
Yeah, 100%.
And by the way, this video, if you do find this on the WFAN YouTube page, that's the only place to find it. It looks like Sal is interviewing Sal in disguise. And when you see it, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes.
I mean, it's as if Sal got dressed up to try to have someone throw off his trail, and then actual Sal interviewed that person.
That's great.
For whatever reason. So, all right. So there you go. We got to the bottom of that situation. All right. Let's get back into some of these football calls and baseball calls. And by the way, the weather does look just horrendous for Wednesday and Thursday down in Atlanta. So I don't know why they don't do this, but look ahead and say, we got this hurricane coming in. Why don't we play two today, at least get two of the games out, and then find a way to play the third? But they're not going to do that. So worst case scenario, that those two games get rained out. I mean, then the Mets have to go. So you only play one against the Braves. Then you got to go out to Milwaukee and then have the potential to have to go back to Atlanta at the end of the season to play these games.
Hopefully that game is meaningless.
But chances are, I mean, if you only play one of these games and these two teams are separated by two games, that there's going to be a chance that those games matter still.
Well, then, you know, basically what they're setting up is a potential for a win-and-you're-in scenario.
Yeah.
And that would be after the regular season is over, which would be something that I think Major League Baseball would love, but it would also put an extra strain on both of the teams trying to get in and then having to get on the plane to go somewhere and go play a baseball game or a series.
Right, so the Mets could go from Atlanta to Milwaukee, back to Atlanta, then potentially out to San Diego.
Yeah.
Not ideal.
Yeah, nobody ever claimed that there was any sort of common sense in any of these sports.
Yeah, but this is a weather situation, though, and there's nothing they can really do about it.
Yeah.
But it just sucks. It just really sucks that this is happening right now with this particular series. But you can control what you can control and just do that and win tonight. Let's just get it off with a nice win tonight, and then you have to hopefully figure out a way to play that second game and win that one, and then you don't have to worry about it anymore. Let's go to Steven in Hillsboro. What's going on, Steven?
Hey, guys.
What's up, man?
How's it going this morning?
Good. What's up?
So I have 2 points about the Mets. One is about Mendoza. He seems to be doing really well at the Mets, and it kind of got solidified for me in that last Philly game, because if you notice in the bottom of the ninth, instead of sending out his pitching coach, he went out there himself to calm down Diaz in that bottom inning to get that final out. And that kind of really put an emphasis on how well he's been doing with this team and moving forward. And the series itself had big playoff feel, because if you think about it, the 3 games previous with Philly plus the 4 games this time, that's a 7-game playoff series, and they took 4 out of the 7 to win big playoff feel, and they need to go into Atlanta with that same feeling to take them out before, you know, making their run to the playoffs.
I mean, you could say that series was the playoff feel. They've been playing playoff games essentially for a month and a half now.
I could actually say, you know, so they get off to an 0-5 start.
Yeah.
And you remember
there were 11 games under 500.
Right, and they were going on the road. Remember I said, like, they just got to get back to 500. You just got to get back to 500. Chip away, chip away, chip away. And then I would say, in the middle of August, they go on that 9-game winning streak, or that was September, excuse me. And they go on that 9-game winning streak. And you're right. They have been playing playoff baseball because they can't lose, because the other teams around them are winning as well. And now, you know, the Phillies obviously win the NL East. There was a point in time there the Mets could have probably caught the Phillies if they were just playing a little bit better.
Yeah, but from where they were, and, you know, someone posted this video, you know, the Darryl Strawberry number retirement early on in the season, that happened at the Mets' low point in the year, 11 games under 500. And he turned to the team and he goes, "You got to keep fighting. You guys have it. You just got to figure it out." Like, he said all this stuff. And, you know, back then I was like basically laughing at it. Like, this team doesn't have it.
Well, a couple things. You had the grimace. You had the "oh my God." You had the first players meeting. You had Francisco Alvarez, who was out for about 25 games. He came back, and then all of a sudden they started to take off again.
Yeah.
Then Vientos got hot, and they found a third baseman. I mean, there's a lot of good things that this team has done. Now they got to finish it off. They have to get in.
Let's go to Andrew out in Shirley. What's going on, Andrew?
Hey, guys. I'm heated. I'm watching that Washington game. Bengals defense is absolutely pitiful. Credit to Daniels with a few of the throws, but the whole narrative change in this entire town over this stupid kicking situation that we had, that we should be 2-1, a win over this team, and back-to-back games where we're talking about how Daniel Jones had good games, not just the one in Cleveland. Instead, we have to do the comparisons and only focus in on Cleveland and only focus in on the kicking situation in Washington, where we'd be talking about the actual play on the field between the Athletic players had we had a kicker. I still don't know who's kicking Thursday, but I'm just, it just drives me nuts, the entire aftermath of those two scenarios. Now I got to hear about Daniels, and I got to hear about the comparisons to Daniel Jones and the whole nine. It's just, it is, that one situation is going to just keep haunting, especially as we start getting deeper in the season. And, well, the Giants need to be 1 game closer, and I'm going to circle it like with dark ink 17 times that 1 week. It's just driving.
Yeah, but I'll say this, though, Andrew, in regards to Jaden Daniels, I mean, as a football fan yourself, watching that game last night, you had to come away with, like, oh, my God, this guy is something special.
This kid's good. I'm not going to say this kid is definitely good, but, like I said, time's going to tell. You know what I mean? We saw a lot of early career, you know, spots for a few different quarterbacks with things taking different turns. But like I said, the narrative, everything is about narrative with wins and losses, right? Like, what do we say about a loss for Washington with Giants keeping them out of the end zone on seven different drives rather than giving them the W, where you have to talk about the game a little bit differently? You know, I think he got his first passing touchdown, but it's all about narrative with the win and loss. You know what I mean? Like, I even think we've talked about last night's game different if somehow Burrow makes a comeback. You're still going to say that Daniels looked good. That's for damn sure. But I'm just saying it's everything about these actual results of the win and loss, no matter what the context is, changes entirely how we talk about it.
Of course. I mean, with every team, but it's also, you know, how you perceive it. Like, so that's your perception of what is going on with the Giants. I could also give you the perception of we looked at the schedule at the beginning of the year and never thought they'd be able to go into Cleveland and win. So they ended up, but we looked at the Commanders game and said they always beat the Commanders. So they lost to the Commanders and they ended up beating the Browns. So, okay. I mean, I didn't think they were going to beat the Browns. So forget about everything that's gone on from a, you know, a narrative standpoint at this point. They're 1-2. And they've got a reeling Cowboys team coming into their building on national TV.
And they have 13 sacks. I think 13 sacks in the last two games on defense.
An opportunity now.
Yes.
I mean, that's really what it's about. I mean, and forget about it. It would suck. That game sucked against Washington. Should have never lost that game. But how many teams in the NFL, every single one of them, I'll give you the answer, 32 of them will have one of those games. But it's how you bounce back from that game.
Well, the Bengals have had two games like that now.
Yeah, right. They're 0-3.
Jacksonville, too, for that matter.
And those are two teams that are 0-3.
Yes.
So you have multiple games like that. But it's forget about it. That's a classic Mike Tomlin windshield bigger than the rearview mirror for a reason. I mean, it's all about what's happening in 2 days and to slay this dragon that's been the Dallas Cowboys that have beaten the snot out of you for years now.
This is definitely a measuring stick game.
Oh, yeah. Flip the script game.
Yep.
Litmus test.
All of that.
Yep.
All those cliches. Throw it in there, man.
Jose in New Windsor. What's going on, Jose?
Good morning, boys. Just getting my daughter ready for school here. And nice. I want to kind of show up for Daniel Jones a little bit. We got to keep in mind that, you know, he's learning to trust his offensive line now just a little bit. These guys are playing a lot better in the last 2 weeks. He's also getting used to brand new weapons on the outside. I know they're comparing Jaden Daniels yesterday game. The guy had an unbelievable game. But he also played against a poor, very poor Cincinnati Bengals defense, and we need to take that into account.
You know, that poor defense intercepted Patrick Mahomes the week before and almost led them to a win, but they didn't because they had a 4th-and-16 pass interference that ended up giving Kansas City the chance to win that game. So
I understand that. Oh, sorry, Boo.
My thing is, like, Jaden Daniels jumped off the screen last night. I mean, he was amazing last night.
Can you guys – just one more point. My daughter would like to say hello to you guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, she's so sweet.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
Have a great day at school.
All right.
And thanks, be good for your dad because he sounds like a good guy.
Yeah. All right, Jose.
See you, Jose. Yeah, there you go. Look at that. Gets his daughter on the air. Isn't that sweet? Let's go to Jeff in Brooklyn. What's going on, Jeff?
Hey, good morning, guys. Boomer Geo, how are you?
We're doing great, Jeff. What's happening?
Hey, man.
Well, Boomer, I heard you're going to Hewlett to play some golf today. Is that right?
No, I'm going actually tomorrow to Seawane.
Okay, yeah, that's where Seawane is. So I'm the golf architect at Seawane. I wanted to give you some tips so you could win some money over there.
Hold on. So this is a Devereaux Emmett course, one of many in our area. And you were brought in for renovations?
For more like restoration work.
Restoration, okay.
I used to work for Gil Hance and Tom Doak, so I've done a lot of work in those classic golf courses around the area, Garden City Men's, Rockville Links, both Devereaux Emmett courses. And so at Seawane, they brought me in to restore the dunes over there and kind of bring out that, you know, that local Long Island South Shore flavor.
You know, I want your job, man. I really do. I mean, that has to be so much fun to be able to do that.
Oh, Boomer, dreams do come true, just like Gio.
Well, we're trying with Gio. So, Jeff, real quickly, I don't want to, you know, get into all of this stuff, but I just, like, when you go back to restore a great golf course, I've never played Sea Wayne, but I'm assuming that it is. I mean, like, what do you look at old pictures? You go back and look at old plans?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I do a lot of research, you know, in, like, the Nassau County Archives or, you know, even for Sea Wayne, I actually just did a simple Google search, and you kind of go two or three layers in, and I found a 1941 aerial photograph of the area, black and white, beautiful photo. I found a 1927 hand-drawn plan of Devereaux Emmett. You know, the owners love having this stuff. It's a great record, and it gives you, you know, a basis to kind of move forward and do the project with them.
I was telling Gio, I went out to Sand Valley, and they recreated Lido.
That's incredible.
That was an amazing trip. Anybody can go out there and play there, and it really did capture C.B. McDonald. But I have to say, I am looking forward to Sea Wayne because I do love all of Devereaux Emmett's designs and the restorations that have gone on around here. I mean, golf is really, I mean, your part of the golf world has exploded in the last 20 years, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, I started in 2009 and really on the bottom of the rung. I mean, I graduated a good four-year school, and I went out to Bandon Dunes, Oregon to work on Old McDonald. That was my first job, and they paid me $9.50 an hour to pick up rocks and sticks, and I could not have been happier. I was just in heaven out there. So, yeah, I've been able to roll all that, and, you know, I've worked around the world. Traveled to New Zealand, Brazil, Uruguay, England, worked all over the New York area. And, you know, Boomer, if you want to come out and dig a couple of bunkers after you play, we're doing a project in the spring. So, you know, Gio didn't get the invite today, but Gio, you are welcome to come play with me.
Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff, so great to talk to you, Jeff.
I appreciate it.
I'm looking forward to seeing Sea Wayne tomorrow.
Thanks for calling today, Jeff.
Yeah, I got invited by America's guest, Wally, so I'm leeching off of Wally. It's a reverse leech spot. A
little reverse leech spot.
I have to deal with two ex-Islanders, Bailey and Clutterbuck.
Wow, that's going to be one hell of a day out there.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, good luck. That sounds like a... meathead tendencies.
Interesting. I've heard of Sea Wayne, but I have not been down there to play there. You know, and you would think, being on Long Island, you want to play all these different golf courses. Like I told you, I hadn't been to Brookville like in 25 years. You know, and it's completely changed. Mm-hmm. And they did such a great, masterful job restoring that place. I'm just like, I can't wait to get there.
Yeah, you got to tell me all about it. I'm excited. Chill out, Mitch.
I'm telling you,
one game at a time.
We're going to the Super Bowl with the Vikings.
Stop.
So my friends from Unreal sent you another gift.
Another one?
Yes.
So if they were 0-3, would I be getting these gifts?
I don't think so.
All right.
So I'm making it happen.
Just to be clear, you brought Brandon Tierney gifts today. You got a gift for G, and Al's birthday was Sunday. What'd you bring him?
I didn't bring him anything.
Oh, okay.
Al doesn't, you know, I asked him. He didn't care. What do you got?
No, I was just going to
say.
It
was a fair question.
I got some purple stuff here. Some purple, what do you even call that?
Filler.
That's filler. Oh, wow. Wow. What do we got here? Man, look at this. Minnesota Vikings Football Club, because they're going over to London, and it's got the little, you know, Great Britain flag on it.
Yeah, see that?
Wow. See, football club like the...
like they would do for soccer over
right.
there.
Awesome. Oh, and it's pants too now?
Yes.
Another full-blown jogger suit again?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
You can walk around Sable. Oh,
yeah, like a real Italian. Hey, that's awesome. Thank you, Boomer. Look at this, man. And thank you, Unreal. Really, really cool stuff.
Look at the hood.
Yeah. Look at the hood. Oh, look at that. What is on there? It's Roman numerals.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what those add up to.
Yeah, I don't know either. MMXXIV.
You got that?
2025?
Yep, that's what it sounds like.
2024.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
all right,
2024.
Very good. Man, they make some cool stuff that's unreal.
They do.
Well, thanks, Boomer.
It's very, very substantial.
Substantial?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then this packaging is great. All right, very good. Well, hopefully they keep winning. I keep getting stuffed. Because I love stuff.
You should be happy with that stuff.
I am very happy with this stuff. I mean, I got a purple one, and now I got this special edition London game one. Look at that. All right. I'm going to wear this. I guess I got to wear this the week they play the Jets, right?
Jets-Vikings Super Bowl preview coming up.
All right, chill out. Chill out. All right, Jerry, let's hear what you got over there.
We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. I'm going to take you back to last week as the Bengals were getting ready for the Commanders. This was Cam Taylor Britt of Cincinnati talking about Jaden Daniels and offense so far through a couple of weeks.
They don't make them do a lot, so they keep it really simple for them. Lance Collins offense, Kingsbury's the OC, so you know, a little move guys around here and there, but you know, just keep it real simple for them. I heard his pass percentage is very high, but he's only throwing short routes.
He's only throwing short routes, which is why his pass percentage is so high. So then last night, Jaden Daniels in that college offense.
First and goal to go. Shotgun snap. Hand fake to Robinson. Taken by Daniels. He'll run over the tackle with ease. Untouched. Touchdown Commanders. The boos cascading down. The rookie quarterback for Washington on a 4-yard touchdown run.
Yeah, made it, I think it was 21-10 at that point. Kevin Harlan, Westwood One on the Fan with the call.
Dude, look how skinny he is.
Yeah, he had himself a hell of a night. Not only that touchdown run, he also threw for two scores, and he set the NFL rookie record for completion percentage in a game, 21 of 23, 91.3%. The Commanders beat the Bengals 38-33.
You know who had the record initially?
Sammy Ball.
No.
No.
Dak Prescott.
No. There you go.
How do you not know that?
I have no idea.
You're
the
voice
the story.
Of the
I am
the
not
Cowboys.
The voice of anything. I did not see that.
You're the voice of
I'm not the
Rutgers
voice of the Cowboys.
You're the
I know, but you do that
the
with
Cowboys.
The Cowboys. I'm not. Kevin Ray is the voice of the Cowboys
but
and Compass Media Networks.
Hear you
and Brad Sham
you
in Dallas.
And then they want to hear you at halftime, and
Let's
they want to hear you
not
postgame.
Misrepresent what I do. I am not the voice of the Cowboys. But you're, thank you. I you, wish
look,
I
I'm
was. It would be a dream
voice,
come true.
I'm not saying you're the only voice. I'm just saying you're a voice of the Cowboys.
Well, that's different than saying the voice of the Cowboys.
All right, I
a voice.
You're a voice of the Cowboys.
Yes, I would accept that. That
okay,
would be cool.
Well, there you go.
So it wasn't Sammy Ball, is what you're saying.
Dak Prescott.
Okay, cool. How about that? I'd like him to see him do that Thursday night.
Slinging Sammy Ball, by the way.
Slinging Sammy Ball. That's
right.
Why I thought that was a pretty good
Paul
guess.
Paul Brown up in Cleveland.
Thought that was a good guess. So back to Cam Taylor Britt. So they lose the game. Now Zach Taylor.
How are those short passes going?
Well, Zach Taylor was asked about what he said last week.
That's not what we do. We praise our own team, praise the other team. We don't need to take shots like that. That team hasn't punted in 2 weeks. They've scored on every single possession the last 2 weeks.
All right, so now
think about that for a second.
Yeah.
That wow. I didn't even think about that.
Now they score in every one of those possessions
seven
or they went
last week, seven last week, all field goals.
Yeah, I know.
And then they scored on every possession last night.
That's insanity.
Yeah. Last night, no punts,
you know
no
what
turnovers.
That is? That's a quarterback that generates explosiveness.
Yeah. Generational plays. Talent.
I'll tell you what, after three career starts, I'm not ready to put him in the Hall of Fame just yet because I got to see more of it. But that was a breathtaking performance last night.
He is off to a very good start. Here was Cam Taylor Britt now asked about those comments from last week.
Do you regret what you said? And can you talk us through what happened from a defensive standpoint tonight?
No, ma'am, I do not regret it. And I didn't mean anything malicious out of the comment. It was just made bigger than what it was.
And then he would go on and say, you know what, props to them.
Yes, I can eat my words most definitely. We did take a hail today. But as a team, it was sort of caught us off very quick, quick throws. He's very athletic and extend plays. And that's how the game went, man. They stuck to their plan, and yeah, that's how it went.
Yeah,
you know,
worked.
I mean, he wasn't wrong going into this game.
I mean,
that's, you know.
And if you watch him, again, if you read the comments and just hear them, the way they presented them to Zach Taylor, I get it. If you watch him, he wasn't being disrespectful at all. But it doesn't look good. And
no.
Then you lose to him and it looks worse.
No.
So kind of the way that goes.
When he's throwing the ball down the field.
Yeah.
True. Very true. So you got the Bengals at 0-3, Commanders now 2-1. The Bills are 3-0 as they beat the Jaguars 47-10. Josh Allen, 268 yards passing, four touchdowns. James Cook with a touchdown run. DeMar Hamlin had an interception, and he says post-game that was pretty amazing for me.
It was special. You know, we all know my last start on Monday Night Football and how that game went. So to be able to, you know, come all the way back from that and to have a special moment like that, you know, it's all God right there.
Sure.
And he knocked out Tua Tagovailoa, too.
True. That is true.
He's been active this year in many ways.
And but what is Trevor Lawrence's throw? Putrid.
It's as bad as it gets.
Got the guy wide open. You just got to hit him right in the chest.
And I'm being serious when I say this. He's lost a lot of games in a row now. I don't know what the number is, but they haven't won in a while.
Only thing I will say is last year.
Is that what it is?
Last year he had a knee injury and an ankle injury, and he played. This year he's healthy, and that's just a terrible throw.
I know Jacksonville isn't New York, but he's got to be getting killed there now, no?
I would think so, yes.
Well, here he is. Yeah, my bad. Not great.
I'm not playing as good as I can play. Just point blank. There's plays out there, you know, with the one to Brian, which I'm sure you guys saw, like that, just a throw you miss and turns into a turnover. And it's a game where the defense needed us to make some plays.
And they didn't make many plays at all.
His confidence is shaken right now. Believe it or not.
They showed multiple guys in the stands last night in Buffalo wearing Trevor Lawrence jerseys and blonde wigs when they were getting their asses kicked. And I was like, man, that is like the lowest of low loserdom right there. If you're one of those guys who went to Buffalo dressed up as Trevor Lawrence and were watching this.
Sad.
Yeah, right now, there ain't no sunshine and rainbows down in Jacksonville. This is I would
not going well.
No, they are crisis central right now.
Mm-hmm.
Cincinnati.
Week 4 does open Thursday night with the Cowboys and the Giants. Now, Micah Parsons has a podcast, as we know. Of course, he was on it yesterday. And so C.J. Gardner-Johnson of the Eagles, former Saint, is heard, the way I'm reading this on social media, he is heard yelling in the locker room after the game ends on Sunday. But they're not contenders, meaning the Saints. They're pretenders. Derek Carr is their quarterback. Ha, ha, ha. So Micah Parsons sees these comments, and he would react on his podcast.
The Saints are a very good team. And C.J. Gardner-Johnson said they're pretenders. They're not. There ain't no contenders. They're pretenders. And they have Derek Carr. Remember that. I don't know who C.J. Gardner think he is, bro.
And then he would go on and says, give Derek Carr some respect.
We've been dealing with this cat for a while. I mean, we just got to be a little bit real right here. Like, I think Derek Carr has validated himself way before CJ has ever done.
Okay, so now.
And by the way, the game was a 15-12 game.
Correct. So, and Micah did say that, too. You didn't blow him out. You barely won the game.
Right, and I would say both defenses played relatively well.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Jalen Hurts threw an interception in the end zone.
So now we take it to CJ Gardner-Johnson, who has to respond.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if the timestamp is right, it looks like he went on Instagram Live at about 1 a.m.
Oh, nice.
Perfect.
Gotta love that.
And it sounds like it.
I wake up out of my sleep to some bullshit on somebody's podcast.
Sounds like Al.
Maybe. Then he goes, come on, Micah, you should know me.
Shout out to Michael Parsons, bro. I know who you are. If you don't know who I am, well, bro, I've been in the league 6 years. Yes, I bounced around from team to team. You know, trials and tribulations happens. But, you know, God got me where I'm at.
And then he says, you're talking about Derek Carr. Well, I'm pretty accomplished, too.
That's all, bro. I just want, you know what I'm saying? If you don't know who I am, we can watch film from my rookie year all the way to now. When I picked off Tom Brady to when I snapped Pacheco in the Super Bowl. When I got a fourth down stop, we can look at it all, bro. If people don't know who I am, I apologize, bro.
And then
what's he apologizing for? By the way, they'll see each other real soon.
They will. And he said we want to shake hands and exchange jerseys. And then in closing,
did I even call you? You let me know. You feel me? Respectfully, ain't got no animosity with you, bro. Keep going. God gonna bless you. God gonna bless me. Ain't got no hate towards another black man doing his thing, man. So, shout out Michael Parsons.
Oh, man. Did he keep it running and have sex?
No, he did not. He's not Shannon Sharp.
Oh, okay.
So I think this was in the middle of the night. Maybe it was, I don't know, but he looked like he was awakened. Maybe for whatever reason, and he decided to go live with that. Jets Broncos on Sunday, just quickly with the baseball. The Phillies have done it.
The 2-2, swing and a fly ball, right center field. Castellanos going back on the edge of the track, makes the catch. The ball game is over. For the first time in 13 years, the Phillies will celebrate. celebrate as National League East champions.
And that was Tom McCarthy on NBC Philadelphia. They beat the Cubs 6-2. Here was Harper with McCarthy post-game in the locker room again on NBC Sports Philly.
It's great. I mean, anytime you're able to win your division, and I mean, first time doing this for me, you know, with the Phillies, is a great accomplishment for all of us.
Is that him going back to Cali? What was that?
I'm not sure.
Oh, you're good at that. I figured you would.
Yeah,
know.
I don't. I couldn't tell.
Yeah. Giants beat the Diamondbacks 6-3, so Arizona falls into the third wild card spot in the NL, a half game behind the Mets now. They are still a game and a half ahead of Atlanta tonight. The Mets are in Atlanta to take on the Braves, and I figure we'll go right to the source. And I go to Rodney Harris, Atlanta News First, for the Wednesday-Thursday forecast.
Going into Wednesday, we have a new first alert weather day for showers and storms because of a cold front in the afternoon and evening. Mm-hmm. Thursday and Friday, a significant weather event is expected with heavy rain, strong winds, the potential for some trees and power lines to come down as a result.
That's not good. And you know where that forecast came from. That was AccuWeather, so shove it up your Apple ass.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. That's funny.
Wow. Jerry, I mean,
I almost couldn't get through that. That was funny.
You've been sitting on that for an hour.
About 15 minutes, actually, yes. That was funny. Well, when I saw Rodney's post, I'm like, ooh, yeah, we can get the Atlanta forecast.
I was hoping Rodney said that. Significant weather event, and this is brought to you by AccuWeather, so shove it up your apple ass. Yeah.
Hey, Boomer, up your ass.
Yeah.
That's funny. The Yankees can wrap up the AL East.
He cracks himself up.
Yes. Shove it, Boomer.
Yeah, I understand.
With a win over the Orioles.
And by the way, it wasn't my thought about your Samsung weather app. That was Al's thought.
That's fine, except for the fact that I don't have my phone and I Googled it. But I guess you probably don't use Google. You probably use AOL search.
Bing.
Bing these days. I use Google, but okay. If that's off-brand too, I understand. And Mitchell Robinson hoping to be back in time for December, January because of the ankle surgery. He is not going to be ready for the start of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I could just see like one of those Babylon Bee headlines, like Mitchell Robinson hopes to be back by December to get hurt again. You know, like, I mean, that's what's going to happen.
You do feel that way.
He's going to come back. He's going to play three games. He's going to snap a tendon and he'll be gone.
You know, or it's like picking up a guy at a trade deadline.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
Hey, that'd be something.